Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Family, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you and praise you once again to come together in fellowship, to study your word, to hear your word, to be your word. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that's here to guide us, to teach us, to encourage us. Holy Spirit, have your way. Think through my mind, speak through my lips, that I would speak those things that will benefit us today and the days to come. We put Satan on notice right now again that he's defeated and under our feet. He cannot cause any confusion, strife, or discord in the mighty name of Jesus. Satan, be gone. Now, Father, as always, we're going to be very careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. Thank you, Father, for giving us life and life more abundantly. In Jesus' name we thank you. And the people of God say, Amen. Well, family, we're going to continue with our study on the battle in our mind, keeping sexually pure. And the last time we were together, we were talking about the importance of being obedient and God, how he has given us scripture and verse so that we are warned of the consequences for disobeying. Always remembering that the standard of keeping sexually pure is high because the cost of disobedience is very great. It could cost us our life. So we read several scriptures in the Bible regarding the warning and the consequences. So I think we've established that foundation, so we're going to continue on where we left off last week. And I want to bring to your attention right now, because you may be thinking to yourself, what am I going to do? If you are already involved in this kind of sinful lifestyle, there is hope and forgiveness in Jesus. Amen. Hope and forgiveness in Jesus. So right now I want to give you scripture and verse regarding this hope and this forgiveness. Again, I will be reading out of the Living Bible unless I state otherwise. So let's all turn, let's all turn to Psalm 103. We're going to start with verses 8 through 13. Psalm 103, verses 8 through 13. I'm going to read. He is merciful and tender toward those who don't deserve it. He is slow to get angry and full of kindness and love. He never bears a grudge, nor remains angry forever. He has not punished us as we deserve for all our sins. For his mercy toward those who fear and honor him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far away from us as the east is from the west. He is like a father to us, tender, sympathetic to those who reverence him. We have the assurance that if we can come to our Heavenly Father and ask forgiveness, we will be cleansed. So there is hope in Jesus. Here is the best news you will ever hear. Through Jesus and his redemptive work, we can live sin-free. We can live sin-free. As Christians, we have the authority and power to say no to Satan and his demonic forces and his evil assignments. But it's us who have to say no. We have to choose. We have to will to do so. I want to share some scriptures that document and validate that statement. Again, we can live sin-free if we choose to. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Now, notice that the scripture says he becomes a brand new person inside. And that is in reference to the spirit of man. We know that we are a spirit made in the image of God. We possess a soul, which is that part of our mind that makes us special, you know, our personality, our will, our emotions. And all of that is contained in a flesh body, this physical body that you and I see when we meet one another. This physical body is not new yet. It has been renewed in the spirit realm, but it has not been renewed in the natural while we're living in this earth realm. So what we have to do as a Christian who has been recreated in the image of God, then we and our soul have to come together and put pressure on the flesh to operate according to God's word. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. We're going to read verses 11 through 14. Titus chapter 2, starting with verse number 11. It says, for the free gift of eternal salvation is now being offered to everyone. And along with this gift comes the realization that God wants us to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures and to live good, God-fearing lives day after day, looking forward to that wonderful time we've been expecting when His glory shall be seen, the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He died under God's judgment against our sins, so that He could rescue us from constant falling into sin and make us His very own people with cleansed hearts and real enthusiasm for doing good things for others. Again, when Jesus completed His work, He set us free from the sentence of death, eternal death. We no longer go to hell as a result of what Jesus completed on that cross. But while you're on this earth realm, while you're living in these physical bodies, you have a choice to say yes to the leading of the Holy Spirit or no. So it's on us, family. We have been cleansed with the blood of Jesus for those of us who have received Christ as our Savior and Lord. So we have then been empowered to do the right thing. So let us stay focused, family. Find out what the Word of God says and then apply it to our lives so that we can live those excellent lives that God called us to. Let's continue. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. All of these scriptures highlight how we have been set free, how we can live free from sin. All right, Hebrews 4:15 says, this high priest, referring to Jesus of ours, understands our weaknesses, since He had the same temptations we do, though He never gave away to them and sinned. Again, Jesus, our high priest, He was here on this earth realm. He lived as a man. He had the same emotions, the same physical needs as we do today. In other words, those areas where we can be weak, He had experience. So it's not as if He's telling us, do like me, even though I don't understand your situation. No, He's telling us exactly what to do because He's been in those situations. So we know from the scriptures that He was tempted in all areas, yet without sin. So it is possible, family, if we choose to operate according to the Word of God in Jesus. All right, let's go to 1 John chapter 3. We're going to start with verse number 7, and we're going to read all the way through verse number 10. Again, 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse number 7. Oh, dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. If you are constantly doing what is good, it is because you are good, even as he, referring to Jesus, is. But if you keep sinning, it shows that you belong to Satan, who since he first began to sin has kept steadily at it. But the Son of God came to destroy these works of the devil. I'm going to put a little pin right there because I want to explain this word destroy. You may be thinking right now, well, if God destroyed the works of the devil, why am I still being tempted by the devil? Okay, good question. All right, so the work that Jesus completed through the gift of salvation was done and settled in the spirit realm. But each person, man, woman, and child, have a free will. And they can choose to receive the gift of salvation or they can reject it. Now, we all know that that's true because we all have family members, whether you are a Christian or not, who either have received Christ or have not received Christ. You yourself know for a fact that you have been offered the gift of salvation on occasion. You may have rejected it. On the other hand, you may have received the gift of salvation. So the salvation package is available to everyone, but we must receive that gift on an individual basis. Now, if you choose not to accept the salvation package, that world system that Satan is involved in, his evil assignments, they are still operating. What this term here or this phrase means, but the Son of God came to destroy, really means that he came to give us dominion, power, and authority over Satan's activities. So, if you are a child of the Most High God, you have accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, Jesus has given you authority, power, and dominion over Satan and his evil assignments. But it's still on us to say no when that temptation comes, when that evil assignment is set before you. You can say no or you can say yes. So to destroy does not mean to get rid of, but rather to have authority over. This is what this is talking about in this scripture. So these works of the devil have no place in our lives if we choose to say no. All right, let's continue with that phrase, that passage. The person who has been born into God's family does not make a practice of sinning. Again, the person who has been born into God's family, and that's born again through salvation, does not make a practice of sinning because now God's life is in him. So if you are practicing sin, you got to check yourself out. Have you truly accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord? Or were you just showing in church that you too are part of the group? No. Salvation is based on our free will, and it should be a transformation in the spirit realm, which will point you to living right. But if you are practicing sin, you want to double check and make sure that you are lined up with the Word of God through salvation. Because now God's life is in him, so he can keep on sinning. For this new life has been born into him and controls him. He has been born again. So now we can tell who is a child of God and who belongs to Satan. Whoever is living a life of sin and doesn't love his brother shows that he is not in God's family. You know, there's another scripture in the Bible that says, the tree is known by its fruit. That means that if you go to an apple tree, you are not going to be picking figs. Whatever that tree truly is, that's what's going to come out of that tree. So if you say you are a Christian, that you receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord, then what should be coming out is those things that exemplify God, love, joy, peace, integrity, kindness. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. And those fruits will not be mixed up with those demonic spirits that are still in existence in this earth system. We have dominion and power over those things, and we need to exercise our dominion, our power, and authority in the name of Jesus. All right, last verse before we get into the principles that we outlined during our first week. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Again, we are reading scripture and verse that talks about how we have the power, dominion, and authority over Satan and how we can live sin-free. Verse 4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he, Jesus, who is in you, is greater than he, Satan, who is in the world." That is from the New King James Bible. Again, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Who is the them? Well, that would be Satan and his demonic forces and evil assignments. "Because he, Jesus, who is in you," that means you are a child of the Most High God, you have received Christ as your Savior and Lord, "is greater than he," referring to Satan, "who is in this world." Family, we have, as Christians, the responsibility and, of course, the privilege of operating above this world system. And if we choose to, we will be those men and women of God of excellence that God created us to be. All right. All of that took place prior to this day. All the scriptures that we read, all the information that we laid a foundation was to get to this actual first principle of keeping our mind intact. In other words, keeping our mind renewed with the Word of God. So let's get into principle number one today, and it is our thoughts always precede our actions. Again, our thoughts always precede our actions. You remember in week number one, I talked about that never-ending war, spiritual war that goes on in our mind, and that's because Satan is about killing, stealing, and destroying. And he has access and will drop thoughts in your mind that do not line up with the Word of God. So it is our responsibility to check out that thought, identify it. Is this of God? Is this not of God? If it is not of God, then you have the ability to say no, replace that thought with the Word of God, and move forward. But too many members of the Christian family, I'm not even speaking to the world now, Christians, I'm talking about too many Christians are not taking hold of their thoughts, and as a result, they proceed with that evil thought, and they create an action that not only hurts them, but their loved ones. Let's talk about this first principle. Again, family, whatever we have been dwelling on, thinking on, obsessing on, that is what will direct our actions. That is why the scriptures tell us to be careful what we hear, what we see, because these senses feed into our mind and formulate thoughts, good or bad, which will eventually direct our actions. So we need to stop watching pornography, stop hearing sexually explicit jokes, or any other forms of communication, including movies and TV programs that promote immoral sex of any kind. When we participate in these ungodly acts, we give Satan permission to get involved in our lives and cause havoc with our marriage and family. Again, notice that the responsibility is ours. God's not coming down to turn off the TV for you. He's not going to stop you from getting involved in pornography on the internet or going down to the local pornography store, he's not stopping you. He's given us a free will, and he wants us to freely do his word, freely accept his guidelines so that we can live victorious. So we are the responsible parties. We are the ones that are going to have to say no. We are the ones that are going to have to choose to live according to God's word. Now, I want to read from the book of Ephesians. We're going to start with chapter number 6, and we're going to read verses 10 through 17. Now, the book of Ephesians is actually an awesome book in that it is really dedicated to spiritual warfare. Ephesians, the whole book of Ephesians, tells us as Christians how we should war against in that spirit realm. I'm only going to pick out this one particular passage because it really kind of summarizes the spiritual war that we're in and our responsibility and duties in this war. Now, the good news, of course, is the battle has already been won. We know that. Jesus did that when he completed his assignment on the cross. But Satan is such a deceiver, he's such a liar, that he will come against you in a way that appears that he has authority, power, and dominion over you. But you just have to remind him, this battle has been fought, this war has been settled, and it's all under the blood of Jesus. So this passage is going to give you some highlights as to this spiritual warfare that we're in and our duty as Christians, how we should stand against those things that Satan brings across our minds. All right, so Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse number 10. Last of all, I want to remind you that your strength must come from the Lord's mighty power within you. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand safe against all strategies and tricks of Satan. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil prince of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. So use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy when he attacks. And when it is all over, you will still be standing up. But to do this, you will need the strong belt of truth and the breastplate of God's approval. Wear shoes that are able to speed you on as you preach the good news of peace with God. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. And you will need the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. All right. That was a mouthful. I want to go back and I want to highlight or expound on certain aspects of this passage, which I believe will give you more clarity and give you an assurance of your authority, power, and dominion over Satan, his evil demonic angels, and his evil assignments. So let's start at the very top where it says, last of all, I want to remind you that your strength must come from the Lord's mighty power within you. In other words, you cannot do this war in your own strength. It is impossible. Satan is a spirit, and he operates in the spirit realm. So if we want to have dominion, power, and authority over him, then we had to fight this battle or come against him in the spirit realm. Again, the good news is that Jesus has won the war, and he's given us the same authority, power, and dominion that he has over Satan. So you don't want to depend on your own thought process, your own gifts and talents that you have in the natural, but you want to depend on the Word of God, which has power, authority, and dominion over Satan. So don't try to fight Satan in your own strength. Use God's word. That's why that scripture in Romans chapter 12 is so important to us, where it says that be renewed by the word of God. In your mind, you have to renew your mind with the word of God. So that's the strength that we operate in. God's word, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is established and it will not change. It has that power that we need in order to live victorious. Well, family, I'm out of time, but I trust that you will return next week for more on the battle in your mind.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' name.